concerning tongues. And it was one of the most abused gifts in the Corinthian church. Paul spends a whole chapter, a whole 40, I think one or two verses on the topic, and the Corinthian church was facing a great, they were in turmoil because of that, because of the abuse of the gift of tongues. And even today, there's churches that supposedly speak in tongues, and Paul makes a distinction between edifying ourselves or speaking to ourselves rather than edifying the whole body of Christ, and the difference that is there, and the interpretation of tongues. There's three gifts prominent that we're going to look at in chapter 14. Prophecy, gift of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. I'm going to start out with Hebrews chapter 2 as part of the introduction, and we'll read verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. And we see here that the writer of Hebrews is showing the fact that there were those things that God instituted in the early part of the church, such as the signs and wonders, that God was revealing his complete word of God. And it was confirmed by them that heard him. The apostles certainly confirmed that message. And also, they were a witness. The apostles, those that heard him, they were a witness to the signs and to the wonders and the miracles of the Lord Jesus and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's a great difference between the gifts of man and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's many people that are gifted today in many different ways. They're very talented in many different things. But when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God, they're from God, aren't they? God the Holy Spirit is the one, the gifts that are exercised by the working of the Spirit of God and not of man. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read about Pentecost. Just a few verses here. You remember the day of Pentecost was 50 days after the feast of the first fruits, and it was on the day of Pentecost that the Spirit of God came in fulfillment of the Lord Jesus as he spake of the Comforter that would come, and he would speak not of himself, but of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they were, verse 2, or let's start at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here's the first, in this time period, the beginning of the church age, here we see that the Spirit of God came upon those that were there at that time. And the Spirit came, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the apostles, certainly, as they were there, they were the ones that were filled with the Holy Ghost. Before that time, the Spirit came upon men, but now the Spirit of God came and indwelt the believers. The apostles were able to speak the Word of God in the language of all the people that were there. And there was about 15 different languages that were represented of people from all different areas. You can read that in verse 8. And the apostles miraculously were able to speak the Word of God in all the languages of these people, even though they never learned the language. They never knew the different languages and the dialects and so on. But the Spirit of God gave them the utterance to speak in their own language so they would understand the message of God's Word. And we know the result. There was approximately 3,000 souls were saved. And then later on in chapter 4, it was 5,000. And so, the cloven tongues as of fire, the cloven tongues could speak of something, cloven means something that is split, that's in two parts or two areas and such. The speaking of the Jew and the Gentile alike. And the Word of God was given to the Jews, to the Jewish people, and to the Gentiles as well. The Spirit gave them the utterance. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just for one verse, and we'll move along. When we attended Guelph years ago, there was a man there, a speaker, a very godly man. He wrote books, many books. And his name was James Gunn. And I'll never forget this. He said in chapter 12, we have the machine in operation. In chapter 3, or 13, we have the oil that makes the machine work. Without the oil, a machine cannot work. It can't operate. But that's the love is the oil that keeps it, the machine going. And so it is, isn't it? It's so true. It's the gift in operation. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12 and verse 10. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. These three gifts are the gifts that are spoken of in chapter 14, in which we're going to look at. In chapter 13, in verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Love never fails. It does not fail. It doesn't fall short. But when we see prophecies and tongues and interpretation of tongues, they're going to cease. The Word of God will be complete. When the Word of God would be complete, for we know in part and prophesy in part. When that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. The completion of the Word of God. That's when these gifts, and prophecy, and so on, are no longer needed. When the Word of God was complete, and we know that took place. We know that the Word of God is complete. We're going to go to chapter 14. I looked up the word tongue in the Vine's Dictionary of Words, and this is what it had to say. The Greek word for tongue is glossa, G-L-O-S-S-A. It's an organ of speech, an existing language. So it speaks, it's referring to our language. It's how we communicate, isn't it? And, you know, if people don't understand what you're seeking to communicate, then what is the advantage of it? And let's begin in verse 1. Follow after love, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. The emphasis that Paul is putting on in this chapter is on prophecy. He wants the believers to realize that it's the foretelling of what has already been revealed is what edifies the church. The things that are going to take place in the future, part of the prophetical message, part of the warning of the things that are yet to come. And that's the emphasis that Paul is writing here to the Corinthians, that they might be edified, be exhorted, and be comforted in the Scriptures. It says in verse 2, an unknown tongue. J. Vernon McGee says that there isn't any such thing as an unknown tongue. And if you notice, unknown is in italics. It's really not in the original text. Speaks in a tongue, in that language in which they understand. In verse 2, he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. And Paul is saying that when we speak, when anyone speaks, he's speaking in a tongue that nobody understands. He's just simply speaking to himself and not to the whole church. And that's what Paul is emphasizing, that the edification is to the whole church. And there was unrest and confusion amongst the church, because there were those that were speaking in all different tongues, and there was no interpreter, and no one could understand what was being said. And we're going to see some of those things as we move on. But keep in mind that the three most important things is edification, how we're to be edified and built up in the things of the Lord, and exhorted, or being challenged to move forward. And that's what we need to do in our lives, isn't it? To be challenged by the Word of God, to be exhorted to move on and to grow and to learn and to spend time in fellowship with the Lord and with other believers and to comfort one another as well. To show love and compassion and concern one for another, not for selfish reasons. But notice he speaks in verse 4, he that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. But to speak in his own tongue, he's just edifying himself. I remember a number of years ago, I attended a wedding, and the service began by standing and singing a song in this particular church. And he sang the song, and then after we sat down, this person remained standing and supposedly was speaking in tongues. But I never understood one word that was said. It was just a very mixture of things and you didn't understand. So what profit was it? Does it edify the church? Paul is saying it doesn't, that it's just their own edifying to themselves. It's an expression of their tongue. And if it takes away from the Word of God, the prophecy that God has given to us, and it's not of God. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. We think of missionaries that go out in the field, and they have to learn a language, don't they? And God doesn't miraculously give them the language. I remember hearing of missionaries that have a hard time learning the language. But that's something that they have to learn. And tongues really is a language. At Pentecost, the apostles spoke the Word of God in the language so that the people that were there could understand. It's a language. It's not a feeling or a great experience that many people are involved in today. It's not that type of self-gratification. That's not what the Word of God says. It's for the edification of the body of Christ. And you know, I'm sure in the Church of Corinth, there were people from different areas and different languages. And that's why we have the gift of interpretation, that the word that was spoken in their language, could be interpreted so they could understand. I was in Colombia with Carl Lehman a number of years ago, and of course Colombia is a Spanish country, it's their language, and we were at camp, and Carl had a series of meetings there at camp, and he spoke in Spanish, and of course I didn't understand what he had said. I think he had shared some of his notes and things with me and that. But unless I had an interpreter sitting right there next to me and telling me what he was saying, I didn't understand. You know, it's the same thing with tongues. The Word of God would be prophesied, would be given forth in their own language if there was an interpreter that interpreted. So tongues was a language that God used. Now notice in verse 6, "Now brethren, if I come unto you not speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine, and even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air." There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. But Paul is saying that if a pipe or a harp is sounded, if they had the same sound, how could you distinguish the tone in that from these two instruments? It wouldn't be possible, would it? If they had the same tone in that, then there's to be a distinction of sounds, so you can be able to discern one from the other. And if you blow a trumpet and the sound isn't correct, then how can they prepare for battle? If it isn't the true sound of the trumpet, then soldiers aren't going to be prepared. And you know, it's God wants the sound of His Word. He wants the sound of the revelation, Paul is saying, and knowledge and prophesying and so on. That's what he's looking for. So that people can recognize that it's the Word of God that they need to be looking to and not to tongues. And there needs to be that sound distinction in the fact that people will be drawn to the Word of God and the things of His Word, in that they will hear the right sounds, that the trumpet will give its right sound, and the piping and the harp, they can hear that specific sound of that instrument so that they can respond to that. Otherwise, they're just speaking in the air. It's to no advantage. And the whole purpose that Paul is getting them to understand is the emphasis ought not to be on tongues, but on the Word of God and the edification of the body of Christ. There are many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. So many voices that's heard in the world, and they're all significant of different things. And so it is with the Word of God. that the voice spoken of His Word in a tongue that is clearly understood will bring edification to the body of Christ. There, in verse 11, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. In other words, a barbarian has a very ruthless voice, a very crude voice. And it will not be spoken in love, but it will, and not understood in the correct way because of the sound of the voice, a very crude voice. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. And that's the whole point that Paul is making. To be zealous of spiritual gifts, and that ye may excel to the edifying of the church, the building up of the church. We don't have any record of where the Lord Jesus spake in tongues, do we? And we don't, other than Pentecost, we don't have any record of the apostles publicly speaking in tongues. Now Paul says in verse 18, I thank my God I spake with tongues more than ye all. But you remember when Paul was caught up into the third heavens and he heard unspeakable words which was unlawful for him to utter. What words were they? We don't know, do we? Could it have been a heavenly language that he heard? We don't know. But Paul, perhaps, that may have been a time when he spake in tongues. And we wonder what the heavenly language will be in heaven. You ever think of that? What will be our language in heaven? We'll have to wait when we get there to see, to hear. I'm sure it will be certainly a heavenly language. It will be known by all. Now let's go to in verse 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, for them that believe it. Paul is quoting a portion in Isaiah 28 that with stammering lips and another tongue will you speak to this people. And we see here that it was prophesied by Isaiah that they could hear the word of God in their own language. That people would be left without excuse because they could hear the word of God in their own language, but they wouldn't hear, would they? Their ears were dull of hearing, and they would not hear. Tongues are for them that are not for them that believe, but who believe not. It's a way of speaking the word of God through the language of the people so that the unsaved might hear and might hear the gospel and come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But prophesying are for those that believe, to edify and to build up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned. He is convinced of all, and he is the judge of all. If there is such confusion in the church of Corinth, to where all are speaking in different tongues, different languages, an unbeliever that comes in or is going to wonder, you know, what's going on? Are you all mad? There's all kinds of confusion in his mind. And Paul is telling them that when they prophesy, to them that believe not, they give forth the word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they have the opportunity to convince them of their need of a Savior, and then he will be the judge of all. But there is something, a thread of the gospel is being woven, and of the word of God, an edification is being woven through the message, so that people can have an opportunity to be saved and to build up in the things of the Lord. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of the true. There's real spiritual emphasis being put on. There's real acknowledgement of who God is and to worship before him. The secrets of their heart is made manifest by the prophesying and the speaking forth of the word of God, and not the confusion through all people speaking in their own language and so on. So in order for one to understand, as they would come into the church at Corinth, and to worship God, that they might hear his word and the truth might be revealed to them. Now it is then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If a man speak in a tongue, let it be for two or three, two, or at the most by three, that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, let him speak to himself and to God. So Paul is saying that if one comes in and someone came into the chapel here and started speaking in tongues, what would you do? What would you think? And Paul is saying that let two or at the most three confront with him, and that one would interpret what he has said. And there's to be order in how things are to be handled. But if there is no one to interpret it, then let him keep silent. If that language is not known by anyone, then let him keep silent and not cause disruption, that he might speak to himself and to God. Now notice verse 33, our time is about gone. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. He's not the author of confusion. It's not his will that tongues come in and take over in the gathering of God's people. It would only cause confusion. And Paul was warning the Corinthian church about that, that that's what was happening. Not confusion, but a peace. There's to be peace amongst the believers. A sense that there is the emphasis on edification and edifying the body of Christ, the believers, might be built up in the things of the Lord. And then in verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches, where it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame of a woman to speak in the church. I'm sure in the church of Corinth there were those, the women, that were speaking out and seeking to interpret what is said. And Paul says that that's not the position of the woman in the church. And that if she has any questions or anything, she's to ask her husband at home. And perhaps if you're not married or that, you could ask someone of the assembly if you had a question about certain things and that. But this was adding more confusion to the situation there in the church of Corinth. And Paul reminds them that they are not to speak out in the church. What came the word of God out from you, and it came unto you only? Any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. They're the Lord's commandments. They're not his. They're founded on God's command and God's word. Verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Covet prophecy. That's what we mean to covet. It's prophecy. Foretelling what the Word of God is already, which is complete. His complete Word of God. And that speaking forth what is already revealed concerning the things of God and of the future things that are yet to take place. And so as we speak, we as such prophesy. We don't use that word as such, but we're telling forth what's already been written to covet that gift that believers might be edified and built up to in the things of the Lord. Let all things be done decently and in order. God is a God of order, isn't he? He's looking for things to be done decently. And they weren't being done that way in the church of Corinth. It was confusion. It wasn't peace. There was a lot of confusion regarding tongues. And Paul sought to clarify that issue and to encourage the believers to do things decently and in order in the area of tongues. You know, God wants us to be edified, doesn't he? He wants us to be edified, to be built up in the things of the Lord. And that's his whole desire, that we might be edified, that we might be exhorted, that we might be comforted from his word. If there are things that hinder us from doing that, then they only cause confusion. But that's God's whole plan and purpose, to covet prophecy and to share the word of God as he has revealed it to us. Father, we give you thanks for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for all that he's done for us. Help us to take these verses of your word and to ponder them over and to study further, and that we might be certain where we stand and to realize that we have a God of order, not of confusion, but he wants us to have order amongst us as believers in the fellowship of believers, so that he can bless and his word will be effective in our lives. We give you thanks for your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.